Let's all stand together, please. Good to see each one of you out tonight. Page 647 for our first song, Just a Little While. I'm thankful that it's not going to be too long. We're going to be in heaven. Amen. If you know the Lord as your Savior, page 647. Soon this life will all be over. Let's sing it out on that first verse. Soon this life will all be over, and our pilgrimage will end. Soon we'll take our heavenly journey, be at home again with friends. Heaven's gates are standing open, waiting for our entrance there. Some sweet day. A good song. How many of you have never sung this song before? That's what I thought. All right. I figured Wednesday night's a good time to learn. Amen. All right. So let's sing that second verse. Soon we'll see the light of morning.
Soon we'll see the light of morning. Then the new day will begin. Soon we'll hear the Father calling. Come, my children, enter in. We'll hear a choir of angels singing out the victory song. All our troubles will be ended, and we'll live in heaven's throne. Just a little while to stay here, just a little while to wait, just a little while to
you're thankful that this world is not where we're going to stay. Amen. Preacher.
Amen. Well, that's a good way to start out Wednesday night. Amen. Well, sure glad you're here tonight. Do want to welcome those that are in our services tonight, and certainly those tuning in live stream. Glad you're here tonight. The oasis in the desert. Amen. And we can get a cool drink of water from God's Word, have some fellowship with one another, pray, and meet with our God tonight. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, ask God's blessing on the service tonight. Brother C.J. Reeves, would you pray for us tonight? be seated tonight. Well, just have a few announcements tonight. Of course, the sign-up sheet time is over with for the Midwest Couples Retreat. But again, if you'd like to go, you can. It just costs you, I think there is a late fee and those kind of things. But looking forward to that, February the 5th and the 6th. But of course, before February gets here, we do have a couple of things left in January. We had a great time the other night, last night actually, at Heritage Baptist Church, and sure appreciate them hosting the volleyball games and the basketball games for our school, both of our schools to compete in. And congratulations to the girls. They won the volleyball match, and that was a real blessing. And the boys, they almost eked one out. And so it was just a battle there. In the basketball, but Heritage won that. We'll give them that one. We'll beat them the rest of the time, all right? But if you'd like to come to some of the games, if you have kids in the school or anything like that, or just want to come, we sure want to encourage you to. And so the next time around, we are going to be hosting the games here, and that'll be on Friday, January the 29th, and that'll be at 4 o'clock over in the E.J. Watson Gymnasium. So I want to encourage you to be here for that. And then also on the last Sunday of January, January the 31st, we will be having an adult linger longer following the evening service. And so if you would like to come to that, do please come, bring some finger foods and those kind of things, and we'll stick around, have some fellowship and things like that. There are quite a few things coming up in the month of February. Of course, Brother Ben Quinlan will be preaching for us all day on February the 14th. I'll be out of town that weekend, and so pray for us as we're traveling. We're actually going to Disney World for my daughter's senior trip, and she picked a good place to go to a senior trip. Amen. I'm more excited than she is about that. But anyways, there'll be some other things coming up though as well with our school, and then of course with our church. Did want to mention this: there is a men's activity February the 27th, which is on a Saturday. Be our annual bacon and bullets, and so Lord willing, we'll be able to do that, and so looking forward to that. All right, let's go ahead tonight if you have your prayer list out, and let's go through our prayer list tonight. Of course, we did update it with some things and wanted to mention those to you tonight. Of course, last week we added on there Larry Braden. That is Miss Brenda Oakes, her son that has pancreatic cancer, and good to see Miss Gloria Quinlan here tonight. And continue to pray for her with the sickness, and then also the Bell's palsy as well. And then also wanted to mention this tonight. I forgot to add Danny Fraley with the COVID-19. And so if you would, make sure to add him on there. Talk to him just a little bit, texting tonight before the service. He's doing fine, very anxious to get through with quarantine. But thankfully, none of the other family has not, they have not gotten it as well. He actually ended up testing again and testing negative. So praise the Lord for that. But do be much in prayer for that family. Then also wanted to ask, too, if we would certainly make special prayer tonight for little Josh Kennedy. They had him in the emergency room last night, was it? And had some blood work done and thing. Everything's coming back positive, and so praise the Lord for that. But at the same time, I know that Mom and Dad probably still want answers. I know Pastor wants answers, that's for sure. Do be much in prayer for that little fella. If you know Josh Kennedy at all, then you know it is not like him to sit still. And so something serious got to be going on for him to stop. Amen. So be much in prayer for him and for Brother Will and Miss Kristen on that deal. Anybody else tonight have a prayer request or an update or anything like that as we go to the Lord in prayer tonight? Man, a good crowd like this on a Wednesday night and everybody is quiet. There's Miss Marie Christian. She's got her hand up. Start us off, Miss Marie. Praise the Lord. Okay. All right, so let's pray for Miss Candy Birchfield. She's in the second column there, about halfway down. That's Miss Marie's youngest daughter, and of course, had been diagnosed with lymphoma, went through the radiation treatments, and so let's pray that those things worked, all right, and that stuff will come back all good. So, amen. Anybody else tonight have a prayer request or an update or anything like that? Miss Melanie Edler? Okay? Okay, I thought she got to go home. The kid said she got to go home. Okay. That's okay. All right. All right, so let's pray for Miss Melanie Edler. And then I'm glad that she reminded me, because I had mentioned that today as soon as I printed the prayer list off. But if you would add on there Erica Otto. And I mentioned to our men Sunday in men's prayer that she had been in the hospital. And thankfully she got to go home yesterday, but recovering from pancreatitis. And so be much in prayer for her and their family. I know they would sure appreciate that. Anybody else tonight have a prayer request or anything like that as we go to the Lord in prayer? All right, let's go ahead and have our men come tonight. And I do have quite a bit on here. Also wanted to mention this under the other requests. If you would pray for Miss Pamela Gist, her son, actually her son-in-law, Anthony Nicholas, is in the National Guard and was one of the ones that was deployed to Washington, D.C. over this inauguration stuff. And so she asked if we would certainly pray for him. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Brother Steve Parker, would you pray for us tonight?
Miss Joyce Crofts, missionaries to Papua New Guinea. He says, "We need your prayers. Our plans to return for a furlough are in process. We have to figure out how to achieve the required negative COVID test, and it seems different countries through which we must travel require different tests. Besides that, the test cannot be done on our island, so we have to figure out where to have it done and within the 72 hours prior to travel. But of course, tickets must be purchased before then. So thank you for praying that all these things can be accomplished. We are planning to arrive in the States towards the end of February in time for our home church's missions conference, during which our grandson, Richard III, will be ordained and begin his own missionary deputation. These are important events which we do not want to miss. We also have some great grandchildren we've not yet seen and are looking forward to meeting our family. The circumstances in our world and the uncertainties make the separations harder, but it also makes us reluctant to leave our beloved churches here. So we ask that you pray for them too. God has been at work, but they are facing challenges, including changes of pastoral leadership, the need for land and buildings, as well as the constant efforts of Satan to discourage. I will be preaching for Kokopo Bible Baptist Church on their transition Sunday, as Pastor Salias has been forced to retire due to his health. His assistant, Brother Ronald Lickius, has been called as the new pastor. After that, I'll be preaching the missions conference for Rabaul Bible Baptist Church, as well as preparing Simpson Harbor Baptist Church for our absence for 6 months. Regarding our furlough, we have some dates. We'd like to be able to visit supporting churches and anyone else who'd like to get a hold of us. We appreciate your support and prayers more than we can express. We do thank God for you daily and pray for you as well. We look forward to hearing from you. Love in Christ, Richard and Joyce Cross. So thankful for that update, and just be in prayer for them as they are wanting to get back to the States. Brother Seth Wisdom, would you pray for the Cross as well as our other missionaries?
Let's all stand together one last time this evening. Turn to page 656. Page number 656. This world is not my home. Just a passing through. Verses 1, 2, and 4 tonight. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world. Just up in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their song of sweetest praise ripped back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Amen. Great singing tonight. Please remain standing.
Amen. This world shouldn't feel like our home. Amen. And we're just a passing through. What a blessing tonight. Well, glad you're here. Want to invite you to take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to the book of Acts tonight in chapter number 13. The book of Acts tonight and chapter number 13. And Lord willing, tonight we will finish up with this chapter. But notice I did say Lord willing. Amen. No, we will. It just may take a little while. Acts chapter 13 tonight, and verse number 38, I'm going to begin reading here. I realize we covered this briefly last week. We touched on these first four verses, but I do think that it's pertinent to the text tonight because he says, "Be it known," and of course this is Paul preaching to those within the synagogue at Antioch in Pisidia. And remember, this is a different Antioch than where they are from. This is the one that's in the southern region of Galatia, which is modern-day Turkey. And so after preaching the gospel, he says here in verse 38, he says, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man," talking about Christ, "is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things." Let me say that again. You're justified from all things. Amen. That means past, present, and future. It's all taken care of through the blood of Jesus Christ. So he says, "Justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." Okay, so again, this is the invitation at the end of the message. And then notice what happens here. "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath day. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the Word of God." Now, wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be awesome to have the whole city of Olathe right here? I mean, we'd probably have to, you know, have it out there. But that'd still be awesome, wouldn't it? So they came out, the whole city came out to hear the Word of God. Now look at verse 45. "But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the Word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the Word of God, because they can be saved. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believe. And the Word of God was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up devout and honorable men, or women rather, and the chief men of the city, raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and came into Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost." What a blessing. Now, if you remember the last time, here's what Paul did. He preached the gospel. And you know what I like? The same gospel that he preached, still the same gospel we preach. What a blessing and encouraging to know that we're keeping the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. But what you and I are going to see tonight is now the response to the gospel. Can I say to you tonight that where the gospel is preached, there will always be a response, because you know what? The gospel demands a response. And some are going to receive it, and some are going to reject it.
But here's what I titled the message tonight: How Do You Respond? And I listen again, I want to say this tonight, as I said last Wednesday night, I realize this is a Wednesday night crowd. And probably most everybody here tonight has received the gospel. If you haven't, then tonight is the night to be saved. But at the same time, I want you to understand there are some serious principles here to look at when you respond to any biblical principle, whether that be salvation or anything. And that's what we're going to see tonight, because I'm just telling you, if you've got a prideful spirit and you reject the authority of God's Word, you're going to find yourself in a lot of hot water. But if you'll humble yourself and let God's Word be the authority of your life, well, I'm telling you, God can sure bless your life. And so we're going to see that tonight. Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for those that are here tonight. Just, God, want to pray again that You would fill me with Your Spirit. Lord, allow me to communicate clearly tonight. And Lord, bless the preaching of Your Word tonight. And God, I do pray again that if there is anyone here tonight that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that tonight would be the night to be saved. And so thankful to see folks even be saved in Wednesday night services. And God, just want to pray that You'd work in hearts tonight as well, even our hearts that are saved. Help us, Lord, to see from this example and just to bring some things out from Your Scriptures tonight. Would You help us? And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. When I was in high school, I had to get braces put on my teeth, and so because of that, I had to go and get 4 wisdom teeth pulled out. I've always said going to the dentist is like a medieval torture, and that's where I learned it from. But I can remember we went to the local dentist there in town, my hometown where I grew up in, and so the nurse came in, and you know, she's got this big needle she's fixing to shove in your mouth. That's always exciting. But she gave me a Novocaine shot in each tooth that they were going to pull. And then she said this: it'll take about 15 minutes or so, and then we'll check it, make sure that everything is numb, and then the doctor will come in, the dentist will come in, and he'll pull your teeth. And so she came back in about 15 minutes later, and she kind of poked around there in my mouth and said, can you feel anything? And I said, no, ma'am. And, of course, I had, you know, my mouth stuffed with gauze, so it was more like, uh-huh. And so she said, okay. And so the dentist came in, and he sat down in his chair, and he grabbed a pair of pliers. And again, that's always something very comforting right there. Amen. And he reached in, and he grabbed one of those wisdom teeth that had to come out, and he started pulling. Now, here's the deal. When he started pulling, I felt that. And so the next thing you know, I'm sitting down. Now, listen, I'm sitting down in the dentist chair right here, and I'm laid back, and I've got my mouth open, and he pulls off, and the first thing that I did was I went, huh! I had one leg up in the air, because the next thing was the other leg, and I was running out of there. So, I don't know what people were thinking out in the waiting room when they heard me yell, but I know what was going on in there. It was medieval torture, you know what I'm saying? Now, here's why I told you all of that tonight. It's because pain demands a response. I mean, it does. When you have serious pain, something's going to happen. You're going to respond to it naturally. Well, what I'm saying to you tonight is this, is that in the very same manner, the gospel of Jesus Christ, it demands a response. You understand, there are only 2 responses that mankind can have to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You either reject it, or you receive it. Even the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 12:30, He that is not with me is against me. Want you to understand something tonight? There is no straddling the fence on the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are no gray areas on the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are no, well, it's a little more complicated than that, preacher. The reality is, it is not. You cannot sit here tonight and say, well, I'm just going to choose to ignore it and thereby not make a decision. The reality is, when you ignore the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are therefore making a decision to reject it. You understand, friend, that it is a black and white issue, and here's why. It's because mankind falls into one of 2 categories as to where he stands with God. Either you are lost or you are saved tonight. Either you have a relationship with God or you do not have a relationship with God. Either you are forgiven of your sins or you are not forgiven of your sins. Either you are on your way to heaven when you die to spend eternity with God, or you are on your way to hell because you have rejected Christ and you will be eternally separated from God. But all of these things are based upon your decision and mine about Jesus Christ and His gospel. And really, the reason that I lay all of this out to you tonight is because that's exactly what's happening in our text tonight. I mean, you have two categories of people, those that reject it and those that receive it. And that's the categories that you and I fall in tonight. And again, you can sit here tonight and you can say, well, that's not me, but the reality is that is you. It's one or the other. There's no in-betweens here. So where you and I pick up tonight in our reading, again, I want you to notice verses 38 and through 41 there that we read. It says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses." And then he begins verse 40 by saying, "Beware, therefore, lest that which come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets, behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." And again, this is the invitation that the Apostle Paul gives to receive the gospel that he has just preached. And if you were here last week, all right, what Paul did was this, is that he gave basically the history of Israel in a detailed in the sense of some of the numbers, but just a brief overview. But really, the whole idea was this, is that he got through the history of Israel up until David became king of Israel. And the whole idea of that was to get to David for the intent of introducing Jesus Christ to them, because it would be Christ that would come from David's lineage. This was based upon the promise of the Word of God, that God would raise up one from David's lineage to sit eternally on His throne. Folks, that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And Christ is the Messiah. He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world tonight. Scripture was fulfilled as He was crucified and died on the cross and was buried in a rich man's tomb. He also then rose again the third day, both fulfilling Scripture and validating that He is the Messiah, the Son of God, and praise God, the wrath of God has been satisfied in the death of His Son. So in verses 38 through 41, Paul is inviting those in the synagogue that have heard this message to receive Christ as Savior. They must receive it by faith, according to verse 39. Well, notice what he says there. He says, "And by him all that what? All that believe." Well, all that believe are justified from all things. Somebody say amen tonight. What a blessing there. And so it's received by faith. And then, of course, he warns them in verse number 40 and 41. He says, "Beware." And the idea here is this, is that if they reject the Messiah, if they reject Christ as the Savior, then they will face the judgment of Almighty God. And then beginning in verses 42 through 48, you have the responses of those within the synagogue. Notice what happens here in verse 42. It says, "And when the Jews were going out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. And now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And again, the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. And When the Jews saw the multitudes, they were moved with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. But then down in verse number 48 it says, "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the Word of God, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." Now obviously some of the Jews would reject Christ as their Savior. I think we get that from the text. But we also know that many of the Gentiles were saved. So as you and I go down through here, just very quickly, I want to point out just a few things here that we need to clear up here and maybe even learn from tonight. I would say to you this, and I didn't get to this last week, but I do think it would be fair to mention it tonight. And that is this, that certainly from verses 38 through 41 that we just read and covered, as well as really the remaining of the chapter, doesn't it remind us tonight that we should have an invitation to respond to God's Word? I mean, you understand, as the Word of God is preached, whether it be the gospel of Jesus Christ, or you don't be any principle or truth from the Word of God, it should be that we invite men to receive it into their hearts and lives. That's the whole idea. That's the whole purpose and intent of preaching, is to have an invitation. I realize tonight we would say, "Well, preacher, we always do that." Well, yeah, there's a reason for that, because it's biblical. But at the same time, you have to understand tonight that there are many, unfortunately, independent Baptist churches today who are no longer doing this. And I believe one of the biggest reasons for that is because many of them are being corrupted with Calvinistic doctrine. And so therefore they're not having a invitation on these things. Well, my friend, it is still a whosoever will may come. And so therefore we should be inviting them. We will, listen to me tonight, we will have an invitation in every service as long as I'm the pastor of this church. Because it is biblical. And may I say to you tonight that if God speaks through His Word to you and your heart, which is what we should be looking for when we come into the house of God, that we ought to be willing to receive it. And no matter what it is, and it should be that we would be inclined to come to an old-fashioned altar. I just got to be honest with you, not trying to say, well, we should have a big invitation tonight and people should come. Not trying to do any of those things, but I am saying that God's people ought to be inclined from time to time that as God speaks that we would respond by coming to an old-fashioned altar, because really, it's right here where we often worship our God in spirit and truth. Saying to you tonight, it shouldn't be that we get so dried up spiritually that we come in and out of the house of God and it's almost like punching a time clock at work and we never respond and we never let God work in our hearts and lives. Anybody get what I'm saying to you tonight? And so there is an invitation and we should invite folks to come. But here's something else that I want to clear up to you tonight. Notice verse number 43. It says, "Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them," talking about the Jews and proselytes there, "Paul and Barnabas speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God." The religious proselytes mentioned here are Gentiles who had been converted to Judaism. They now believed Jehovah God is God. They understood the Old Testament Scriptures were in fact the Word of God. And as these Jews and Gentiles were inquisitive about the message Paul had preached to them, Paul and Barnabas instructed them and said this, "Continue in the grace of God." So what does that mean? Well, it does not mean that they were saved as of yet. All right, you understand, rather Paul and Barnabas, they were encouraging them to continue in the direction they were headed, spiritually speaking. In other words, I believe this, they were beginning to sense the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. I believe this, they were realizing that the works of the law, they really weren't enough. I believe this, that they were starting to see how that this Jesus whom Paul had preached, you know what? He had fulfilled some of these promises within the Word of God. Maybe He is the Messiah. And so they were asking all of these questions, and basically what Paul and Barnabas were saying to them is this, keep going, keep asking the questions, keep opening up your heart and mind to the Word of God and what the Spirit of God is doing in your life, And the whole idea is this, is that if they keep going, then it's most likely they'll come to the truth and they will be saved, which, by the way, they do. If I could say to you tonight, it'd be no different when someone starts asking questions about spiritual things in our day and time. Well, you know what? Listen, if they do that, here's what we want them to do. Keep coming to church. Keep listening to the preaching of God's Word. Come on, keep getting in the Word of God and seeing what God has to say. Why? Because the end result may very well be exactly the same as this passage, meaning they call upon Christ and they're saved. Boy, how many of us have had kids we've watched do this right here? I mean, we've watched all our... If you've ever dealt with children, many times it's this way. You know what happens? Usually it's this. They start asking questions. Mom, Dad, how come we go to church? I mean, how come we're like there all the... It seems like we're there a lot. I mean, when you're like four, like Emily's age, you want to be at church every night, see your friends in the nursery. But you know, they start asking those questions. You know, who's Jesus? What's the Bible? Why we, you know, we do these things. And you understand that they're asking those questions and you realize this, well, you're getting there. Come on, they're getting it in their head. And they're going to get this head knowledge and pretty soon they're going to have a heart transformation. Does anybody get what I'm saying? Oh, come on. I'm just telling you, it's encouraging, moms and dads, keep your kids. Hey, listen, if you've got children that are at that point, let me help you with something tonight. Don't stop coming to church. Don't stop. No. Don't miss Sunday school. Don't miss junior church. Don't miss. Listen, don't start getting more unfaithful. Get in the house of God so that they can hear the Word of God. Because you don't know what message God is going to use to get them over the hump spiritually, so to speak, where they see the truth and they finally respond and they get saved. You want to know what one of the biggest pet peeves I have as a pastor? It's when parents understand the spiritual condition of their children, yet they're unfaithful. It drives me nuts. It drives me nuts to even hear mom and dad go, "Would you put our children on the prayer list?" And then they're not even in the house of God. My friend, listen to me. Your children, their blood is on your hands. Is anybody getting this to you? You understand what I'm saying to you tonight? So, preacher, you seem a little angry. Yeah, because those kids need to be saved. And they're watching an example tonight of someone that is of hypocrisy and carnal. And my friend, I want them to know that there is a God in heaven and that the Word of God is true, and to see the example of in their parents that they love the Lord and that they're serving God, and that it's good to be saved. And listen, and then they come into our Sunday school classes, and they come in our junior church, and in our teen department, and even in the house of God. And over and over and over again, they are hearing the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God, the Gospel, the Gospel, the Gospel, and they get saved. And they get saved. I'm telling you, I got a list of every family in this church on my prayer list. And I pray over them kids. I want your kids to be saved just like I want my kids to be saved. And I'm just saying to you tonight, listen, you have a responsibility, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, to make sure them kids are in the house of God and hearing the Word of God. Listen, do exactly like Paul and Barnabas right here and encourage them in the things of God. Continue in the grace of God. What is the grace of God? That is God's help. Do you understand tonight that God loves you and wants you to be saved? That's why He is working in your life and in your family, because He wants you to have a relationship with Him and to be forgiven and justified of all things and spend eternity with Him. Huh. Well, we'll get to some preaching here in a little bit. Just bear with me. Look at verse number 48 very quickly. I want to clear this up too. It says, "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord." And notice this phrase right here. "And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." Now, this is that part where those Gentiles from verse 43 got saved. Amen. But unfortunately, false doctrines such as Calvinism and things like wicked Reformed theology has taken this little phrase right here. As many as were ordained to eternal life believe, and they've twisted it into something that is far different from what it actually means. Let me explain something to you tonight. The word ordained has the sense of determining or choosing. However, and this is what's important, it is not implied that this was on God's part. Rather, it's on their part. What does that mean, preacher? Well, it's the idea here of this. As many as had chosen eternal life, believe. Did you catch that? No. See, what I'm trying to say to you tonight is this. Please catch this. There is no predestination right here. There is no election as it pertains to Calvinism implied right here. Predestination, my friend, in the Bible never has anything to do with the subject of salvation. It always pertains to those who have already believed and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And then, once you are saved, you are then predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's what predestination has to do with. It has nothing to do with, well, God predestined some to be saved and God predestines others to die and go to hell. That's not our God, friend. That's not God's love at all. God created man to be a free moral agent, meaning this, that he has the ability to choose eternal life. But he also has the ability to reject it. The truth of the matter is, that's exactly what you and I find in our passage. Some receive it. Some reject. But you know me, I always got to ask questions. I mean, like, why? Well, I'm glad you asked too. So I just want to give you a couple of things tonight from this whole thing here. And now we'll get into the preaching part, all right? That's a joke. We've been preaching for a bit. Number one tonight, if you're taking notes, I want us to see the roots of their responses. And what I mean by that is this, is no doubt we've read down through here. I think it'd be obvious tonight that we would point out and say, boy, we see a great contrast in how they responded to the gospel. It's already been pointed out. Some received it, some rejected. But what I want to say to you tonight is this, I believe we can also see why. In fact, let's go down through these verses here once again. Just bear with me. I think it's good for you to do it as well. But just bear with me, because I want to point some other things out that maybe sometimes we don't always catch. I want you to notice verses 38 and 39 again. Notice it says, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man," of course speaking of Christ, "is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." Now, Paul just had to point that out, didn't he? There he goes, Baptist preacher, stirring up trouble. But we understand tonight that this is Paul, and he's giving the invitation for them to receive the gospel. But at the same time, he is also making it clear right here, now watch this, that only through Christ can man now receive forgiveness of sins. Well, that's opposed to the sacrifices that were offered by the Jews according to the law of Moses. Only through Christ can man now be justified from all things as opposed to obedience and the works of the law of Moses, which, by the way, well, Paul just had to point that out, which could never be done by the law of Moses. But the greater thought here is that though we understand these things are a fulfillment of Scripture, as Paul has already laid out, I think we can even right here begin to see that this is now beginning to fly right in the face, if you will, of the teachings and the traditions of these Jews. Everybody catching this? Especially especially from a Pharisaical standpoint. Well, then you get down to verse 42 and 43. Notice it says, "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue," probably because many of them didn't like what was preached. Kind of like how Baptists sometimes leave church. I wasn't even in my notes, man. I might start charging some of this stuff, you know. It says, "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath." Boy, you can hear some of them walking out and hearing the Gentiles saying, going, "Oh, great. Here goes the Gentiles." And so, verse 43, it says, "Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God." And so now you get into these verses and you have, and no doubt in verse 43 there, some of the Jews, but you certainly have a host of the Gentiles being very inquisitive about Paul's message. Wonder why that is. Stay with me. I believe you have a people right here who have already humbled themselves to God and the authority of His Word. Gentile people. Proselytes. No, stay with me. And even as Gentile, well, you know they call us proselytes. I mean, that's kind of like, well, we're not Jews, but we're just proselytes. I mean, now you got a people that, well, if I could say it like this, they kind of feel like second-class citizens among the Jewish. Is anybody getting this? But also, I think this, and we could even say this tonight, and even as Paul pointed out in his invitation, I believe they also felt inwardly that this law that we are now learning, and all of these Pharisaical traditions and commandments outside of the law, they're really burdening. And they're really taxing. And at the same time, we're not sensing any of the inward benefits that we thought would come from that. Meaning like forgiveness of our sins and a right relationship with this God of this Word. So in excitement over the possibility of being fully cleansed, you know, justified from all things, they begin to spread the news of Paul and Barnabas' message to the people. And in verse 44 it says that the whole city would come out and hear the message. But again, look at verse 45. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere with this. Stay with me. Verse 45 it says, "But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with" what? "Envy. And spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming." And so, listen, because, now watch this, because see, now they're no longer controlling the people. Is everybody getting this? They're no longer controlling the people with their traditions. They are moved with envy. So they begin to attack Paul and Barnabas by contradicting them, blaspheming them. It's the idea of this. Now watch this. Now catch this. Since they can't defend their stance scripturally, they begin to attack the character of Paul and Barnabas, hoping to discourage the Gentiles from following after them and receiving their message. Anybody get what I'm saying? No. Please get this, because the same kind of games are played today in our country in politics. Had to get political, didn't you? On a day like today. But we better move on. Because I like Paul's response. Look at verse number 47. Or 46, excuse me. "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. And said it was necessary that the Word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Watch this. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Did you catch that? Certainly we would say this, they wax bold instead of cowering in fear. Amen. But then they said that they were turning to the Gentiles, and Paul quotes Isaiah 49:6. You know why? Because it has always been God's intention, even in the Old Testament, that once the Messiah came, this meant an open door to the Gentiles to come to Him. But I would say to you that the greater thought here would be this, that once again Paul and Barnabas could back up their stance on the Word of God, where the Jews could not. And then, of course, in verse 48, the Gentiles are saved. Now, watch this. Now, wake up now. Come on now. You've got to stay with me. Because now we're getting to the gooder part. Because the reason that I wanted you to go down through here and see all of this, I realize it takes time and all of that, but watch this, is not only so you can see a sharp contrast in the responses to the Gospels, but rather also this, that you can see a difference in the sources that led to their response. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, here's what I wrote down and underlined in my notes, and I'm going to read it to you tonight. While one group of people had humility, before God and the authority of His Word, the other group had great pride in themselves and towards God and were unwilling to submit to the authority of His Word. Well, why is all of that important for us to see tonight? Well, here's why. Because these are still the same two sources that people have today, which is why their responses are to what they are to the Word of God. Please get this tonight. We must be very careful not to pride in ourselves, or, by the way, even our own vain traditions. And those things hinder us from submitting to God and His Word. I realize tonight we're a Gentile people. But do you not understand tonight that I still hear the same kind of stuff that basically these Jews were spewing out to Paul and Barnabas. Well, that's not the way we always done it. Favorite things the preacher loves to hear. Well, that's not the way I was taught. Well, that's not the way Grandma and Grandpa did it. Well, maybe Grandma and Grandpa wasn't right. Whoa, wait a minute now. Well, I know Grandma and Grandpa give you everything you want, but that don't mean they're always right. Let me give you... No. Stay with me. Don't mean to offend you on the Grandma and Grandpa thing, and all the Grandma and Grandpas are already tuning me out. Stay with me. Because watch this, because I'm just telling, let me give you an example. When I was pastoring Bible Baptist Church in Cassville, Missouri, I probably hadn't been the pastor, I think maybe 2 or 3 years, somewhere around in there. We had this dear widow lady in the church, and she invited another widow lady, friend of hers, that was in her apartment complex to come to church with her, and so the lady started coming. And she came for several Sundays in a row, just really enjoyed the services, enjoyed the preaching. Just a very, sweet lady. And so then one Sunday morning, well, we were getting close as a church body to observing the Lord's Supper. And so I made the announcement on Sunday morning that we are going to be observing the Lord's Supper here in a couple of weeks, and that we stand closed on the Lord's Supper as a church body. And and so I just laid it out, meaning this, that we only allow members of the church who are in good standing to observe the Lord's Supper with us. Now let me tell you why I said that. Because that's what the Bible teaches. Do we understand tonight that a church is not some universal invisible thing? It's a local visible assembly of baptized believers that are constituted together to carry out the Great Commission. That's what a church is. And that the Lord Jesus Christ gave the ordinance of baptism and the Lord's Supper to His churches, to observe, especially the Lord's Supper, to observe till He comes. And you understand, it's not our supper, it's His supper. And so He therefore determines who sits at the table. And according to the Scriptures, it is those members of that local body of believers called a church that are to observe the Lord's Supper. It is a way in which we examine as a church body that we're right with Him, but also we're right with one another. And so if you open it up to just anybody under the sun, you therefore ruin the purity of the supper. And not only from the principle standpoint, but also from the Scripture standpoint. Because when you study 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul deals with the church at Corinth about observing the Lord's Supper, over and over and over again, Paul says this, "When ye come together, church at Corinth, when ye come together as a church." He is talking to the church at Corinth. He does not say, "When we," he says, "When ye." What's ye? That's plural. You all. Y'all. You-ins plus three. But more specifically, he's talking to that church in Corinth. Now let me tell you what happened next Sunday. That dear sweet lady didn't come back. I thought, okay, maybe she wasn't feeling good that day. Next Sunday came around, she didn't come back. So the next week, I went over and visited with her. Came over to her house, and I said, "You know, Miss So-and-so, I said, we sure miss you at church. You doing okay?" And, "Oh, yeah, I'm doing fine." I said, "Well, do you mind if I came in and talked with you for a little bit?" And so I did. And then she just flat out told me, she said, "Well, I just don't, you know, I don't believe what you believe about the Lord's Supper. And so that's why I haven't been back." And I said, "Okay." I said, "Would you mind if I came back in about an hour or so, about 30 minutes? And she said, "Sure, go ahead." So I went back to my office. This is what I did. I went back to my office and I got out my ABCs of Christian growth. It's just a little booklet. It goes through a bunch of doctrines and things like that. If you haven't been through it, we all need to go through it together. In fact, we might do it on Wednesday night service. But I went to where it talks about the Lord's Supper. L, the Lord's Supper. I made a bunch of copies of the pages. Made a bunch of copies. Don't tell them I did this. I made a bunch of copies of it. And I went back to her house and I sat down in her living room and I said, "Miss So-and-so," I said, "would you, I know you don't, you said you don't believe what we believe." And I said, that's totally fine. I said, would you be willing to just go through this little lesson right here and fill out? Because I want you to know why we believe what you believe." And did you know this? That dear sweet widow lady turned into a lady that was not sweet. This was her response. "No." And she said this, "That's not the way I was taught. That's not the way we've always done it." And I went, "Well, I'm so sorry. You know, we sure want to love to have you come back to Bible Baptist. There's nothing to do with that." Am I getting this tonight? Stay with me. Let me just point out a couple of things here. Please listen to this. You and I had better be careful about having a prideful spirit towards the authority of God's Word. Not just over doctrine, but over any principle or truth from the Word of God. Because here's the thing tonight. You need to catch this. Because probably a lot of us here tonight, we've heard things like this preached in this church, and we're always going to, because doctrine is the meat of God's Word. And I like it that we can say, here's what we believe, but then we can go back to the Scriptures and show you, this is why what we believe. But at the same time, we may all sit here tonight and go, "Well, yeah, preacher, we believe that. And we should stand there on the Lord's Supper." But what about when the Scripture deals with you personally? What about when it deals with standards? What about when it deals with separation from this world? Is anybody getting this tonight? What about when it deals with things in your life that you're making decisions on and that the Word of God is directly speaking against those things, what's your response? Well, preacher, I mean, you got your... What? What was that? Well, you know, preacher, that's your thing, but this is my... Well, that wasn't the way I was always taught. Well, now you're being taught correctly, biblically. Well, that's just not the way we do things at our house. See, now we're getting down to what... You didn't know it was going this way, did you, tonight? But isn't that true? See, truth of the matter is, I think oftentimes we see ourselves right there in the Jewish people. We may not do that over the gospel, and we may not do that over the Lord's Supper, and we may not do that over baptism. We might do it over something that's personal in our lives. And we see it from the Scriptures. And you need to understand something tonight. Listen to me. The Word of God's not here it's not here to invoke you to bow your neck in pride. You know why the Word of God's here? To help you. Come on, it's here to help you. I know this, okay? In my personal life, in every area that I have submitted to the authority of God's Word, I've never looked back and went, man, I can't believe I did that. That didn't pan out. Never done that. You know what I found? God's blessings on the other side. In every instance. It's not here to hurt you. It's here to help you. You know what? There's some things God has put in His Word that He requires us to do. You know what? There's a whole lot of things He requires us not to do. Because we have a positive nature towards sin. But at the same time, those things are not to hurt you. And they're not to hurt me. They're here to help us so that we can have a closer walk with Him and enjoy His grace and His blessings on our lives. Why would we go... Ugh! And on the other side of that is God's blessings and God's goodness in our lives. Let me also say this tonight. See, it's one thing to bow your neck on personal things, you know, standards and the kind of music you listen to and all that. Whatever. You're the priest of your own home. You can do whatever. Oh, don't get me wrong. There'll be consequences for it. You'll certainly never be in leadership in Faith Baptist Church. You can do whatever. But it's a whole other ballgame when you take salvation. You bow your neck at that. And you go, I'm not doing it. And you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior. See, if you're saved, well, we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Whether it be good or bad, we'll be judged for our works. Because God, our sins already been taken care of. If you're lost tonight, you bow your neck to Him, you're going to stand before God Almighty in judgment. And you'll be cast in hell for all eternity. And my friend, listen to me. Well, I'll just get things squared up with Him when I stand. That's not how that's going to work. Not how it's going to work. It's whether or not we humble ourselves. Got a whole lot more stuff to do, but we're not going to finish it. Because there's some wonderful responses to those who are saved. I mean, listen, they got saved. I like how Paul and Barnabas, they didn't respond to the things. I like how they didn't respond to the flesh of the Jews with their own flesh. They just shook the dust off their feet and went on. You know, that's what we need to do as God's people. And then in the end, well, they're all filled with God's joy and with the Holy Ghost. That just sounds so terrible, doesn't it? Hey, can I ask you something tonight? How do you respond to God's Word? How about its authority in your life? Because really, I mean, that's what all this is about. Paul used Scripture in everything. And it was just the people so full of pride, they weren't willing to submit to it. Let's not make that same mistake. Because on the other side of submitting to His Word, boy, it's just a blessing.
in the goodness of God. Let's all stand tonight.